Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Well, how's it going? You're very welcome along to the football pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, and Tommy Rooney. The boys are back home after a busy weekend of football. I am halfway home between Clonus and Clare. I pulled up to the Cavan Crystal Hotel to record the football pod tonight. So thanks very much to the good folk in the Cavan Crystal Hotel outside Cavan Town for that. I'm on the way home from an epic after Mayo beat Monaghan by a point. It's been some weekend of football again, boys. We've got the draw on Tuesday. Where are we starting, boys? Where do we go?
We'll start there. I think we should start in Clonus, will we? Seeing as it was the most recent.
Yeah. God, it was some game of football. Or did I just feel like that because I was there?
It wasn't looking like that at halftime. See, we were... No. Our WhatsApp conversation would suggest otherwise.
True.
It was at 11 points.
Yeah. Tommy said he'd be having an early night.
Jeez,
this won't be going to extra time. You've no faith, Tom.
We got it wrong yesterday, Jimmy. I remember the WhatsApp with the Westmead Cavan game, 5 minutes of the second half as well. We were a little bit off with that one as well. But we were proven right, Tommy. But we were proven right. Westmead and Mayo did both win. So
true. But do you know who was listening to the predictions last week? Dermot McCabe. And he wasn't so happy post-match talking to Jonathan Higgins. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Where are we going in Clonus?
You start with Monaghan because they're not a bad side at all. They are a good team. And I always say, because I was listening to the interviews after the game, and it's obviously dead right to say they have a great mindset, great mentality, great fight in them. But for some reason, they're turning it on far too late in games. And it's easy to play when you're 10 points down. I'm wondering why that desire, that fight to take the game to the opposition isn't there from throwing. Now, they didn't play badly in the first half, but they left Mayo get into a rhythm. And it's like Monaghan were kind of thinking, right, we'll see where we are with 20 to go again. And then we'll really, you know, take our chances. But if they'd started earlier, I think the game would have been there for them. And the story for Monaghan really is the missed goal chances. You're looking at 7 or 8.
Hold on.
Gilt-edged chances.
I have Jack Livingston on his championship debut down for 8 saves.
Yeah. And some shots he didn't even get off. They were dispossessed at the last moment. Now, it's not enough to just create those chances. And do you remember during the National League, we actually criticised Armagh quite a lot for getting into the positions, playing really well, but not having that rootless cutting edge up front to get over the line in games. And this was a bit like that. So I just feel like Monaghan have left one there. And obviously then there's the disallowed point situation, or the one that was waved wide, which looks straight over the bar. That's thrown into the mix. There has to be an element of big frustration and disappointment in Monaghan, because I think that game, although it got away from them, if you actually take the whole game in context, it was there for them. Which is, it's mad. It's just the way they can keep in these games. I think they'll be very, very disappointed to leave this one after them.
Paddy, I made the mistake at halftime in our WhatsApp group of saying, do you know what, boys? There'll be no extra time today. How on earth, after all the lessons, after all the times I've covered Monaghan, did I not learn my lesson? 11 down at halftime, 12 down in the 49th minute. But you know what? When Desi Ward kicked that 2-pointer in the 58th minute, their first of the second half, I went, uh-oh.
Yeah, we're on.
Trouble.
It is. They're just, talk about a team that you can just seize momentum. You know, McCarron gets his 2-pointer. They get the goal then as well. And it's just, if you seem to give them a sniff, you said it, Jimmy, no matter what stage of the game it is, we're well into the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, and they're dead and buried. Mayo are keeping the ball. By far the better team in the first half, obviously, you know, Ryan O'Toole and Ryan O'Donoghue was a brilliant matchup, but it looked like Ryan O'Donoghue was doing the business there. He gets man of the match, but look, there was some incredible stuff from Ryan O'Toole down the stretch as well. And they just seem to make these massive plays. Like, they get the goal and the next kick out, and it's begging, coming through and cleaning house for a catch around the middle. McCarron hits a brilliant 2-pointer. Conor McCarthy back to his best as well. It's... it may sound condescending or patronising or whatever, but it is. They seem to be a team that just are on the floor and then they just roar back into the game. And it was one of the comebacks of the season to beat Derry in the Ulster Championship. They did in the Ulster Final and very, very nearly against all the odds got their hands on the Anglo Celt. And again today, like you say, 45, 50 minutes on the clock, I tipped Mayo. I thought Mayo would win comfortably here. And for 45 minutes, I was getting the performance I expected to get from Mayo, having been off for the last 4 weeks. But Monaghan get the momentum. And I couldn't agree with you more, Jimmy. And I'm sure everyone watching that game today going, Monaghan just a little bit more clinical. The goal chance is fine to the right players at the right time. And they win that game by 6 or 7 points. So it's brilliant for Mayo and Andy Moran to get out of there and just get the show back on the road and to go into 2A in the draw. But for all the good stuff they did in the first 40 minutes, they've got to be looking at the last 20, 25 minutes there. They've got away with one.
Yeah, like they played some great stuff. Like in the first half, Mayo
the first half was very good. Very good.
Like they look confident in attack. They look like no Monaghan did step
Kearney.
Off. Yeah. Monaghan did step off them a bit, but they got that flurry of two pointers with Colby, Kearney, Ryan O'Donoghue. I forget who got another one. But like
Dara Byrne kicked the free. Yeah,
yeah, they looked on it, and what they did, which was kind of clever, they really front-loaded with quality. So they put the three boys inside with Dara Byrne, Colby, and Ryan O'Donoghue, and it caused Monaghan all sorts of problems. In fairness to Ryan O'Donoghue, I thought he was very good, although he did, I'd say he still had 4 or 5 turnovers against him, forced by Ryan O'Toole, in fairness to him, who stuck at it every time. But he still kicked some lovely scores, and he got 4 points from play, and all of them were nice little knacky finishes.
You've been there though, right? So Ryan O'Donoghue is man of the match in this game, and he kicks 8 points. Ryan O'Donoghue is man of the match and kicks 8 points. Ryan O'Toole has two brilliant defensive interventions that, you know, when the game is in that kind of clutch period, like, it's a different scenario. It's an All-Ireland semi-final. Yourself and Keith Higgins going toe-to-toe. Bodie came out of that game with huge credit, James, that day down in Limerick. That can happen. I think it's going to happen a lot more now as we get way more one-on-one battles.
I'd love to see more of those, Jules. And it only happens when the forward is kind of a take-on merchant. You know, if he wants to go at the defender, it gives the defender an opportunity to strip him. Like, because you can play it a very different way. You can just get the ball, slip it, and you're not really going to lose possession. But what I liked about Ryan O'Donoghue was every time he looked Ryan O'Toole in the eye and he went around him. And a couple of times then, in fairness to O'Toole, he got back and made some last-ditch tackles, which is brilliant to see. But yeah, I think you will have those duels once fellas are taking their man on. And I think you'll take your man on more if the ball is kicked more. And across the board, I think the ball is going to be kicked more, almost from this week. Because the weather, because teams are realizing that they're wasting so much energy running up and down the field. They're getting so many injuries by running the ball up and down the field. Just kick it and save all this hassle and make your attack way more dangerous. And I think that Mayo did have that conversation, because there was a couple of times where they caught kickouts clean and Kearney caught one or two. He'd barely, you know, touched the ground before he was delivering it inside. There was a run being made. So I was very impressed with that by Mayo. And then they just seemed to kind of pull up a little bit and leave Monaghan back into the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if it was pulling up, and I don't mean to dismiss your point there. Can I just come in there? Yeah. Paddy, I think it's, and I wondered, I was going to come to you on this. Is it the fact that Mayo have waited 35 long nights and 36 days since that Roscommon defeat? And in the meantime, Monaghan have gone to extra time in two games. Like, did Monaghan just have that little bit more in them in that last 20 minutes? Or am I off there with that?
Hard to know, Tommy, because like, I was there last night, we're talking about Derry played in that game against Monaghan, and you're expecting them to come flying out of the blocks after 4 weeks off, and they were. Didn't raise a gallop. So it's, I don't know, from team to team, it may vary. Each team responds differently to having 4 or 5 or 6 weeks off in the middle of the championship. It's such a unique thing for these players, having trained all year and then you lose a provincial championship game. You would always assume that maybe, Cavan Westmead again yesterday as well, a team has 4 or 5 weeks off, you're literally bursting out of the dressing room to get onto the pitch and fly out of the blocks. And it seemed like Mayo had that in the first half. And for Monaghan, you could say, oh, well, they're battle hardened. and they've had loads of games. But on the other side of that, you could say, does that drain your energy? Monaghan don't have a big squad in terms of injuries and depth. We've spoken about that so many times before. I just think this Monaghan team, you have to praise their character. And it's not just this team, it's Monaghan over the last 10, 12 years. There's a lot of change of personnel, but they seem to literally, we keep saying this about them, they will just go to the final whistle and drag every last drop out of their game. And they very nearly pulled it off today. They go into round 2B. No one's going to want to play them again. And you wonder just how they're doing it, because I would have been on the other side of that, Tommy. I know the point you're trying to make, but I would have felt that they kind of, the emotional highs they've had over the last month through that Ulster Championship, I thought they'd be flat today. You know, and for 45 minutes they were. But once they get the sense of a big score or a big play, they seem to be able to seize on momentum like no one else can. Yeah. And then they've got that little bit of quality to make it count in the likes of McCarron and McCarthy. And then some of these younger subs who are not household names, who Gabriel Bannigan has had, you know, has to dip into his bag of magic tricks there and give young lads a go, and they're repaying the faith. So it's... they deserve massive credit over the last, because 8 weeks ago you're looking at this thing and going, they lost all 7 games in the National League and relegated, and you're thinking it's going to be a bad championship for these guys as well. And they haven't picked up the result today, but they very nearly won an Ulster Championship against all the odds, and they're in the All-Ireland Series now. And again, despite losing today by a point in the end, nobody wants to play them in the next round, in round 2B, because they get on a roll and they're just very, very, very hard to stop.
Yeah, but no, I agree.
Like, if you look at Paddy, you mentioned the subs and the youth. Like Bobby McCall had, that's not a bad injury. I think it is. I think when the camera doesn't even go to him on the ground, I was thinking, this is very bad. But the impact he had, like, he was just available. He wanted the kick pass. He wanted to fetch it. He wanted to compete aerially. And what I noticed as well for a young fella, I think he might only be 21. Is he 21, Tom?
I think he actually did his cruciate last year, James, in the 20s. And that was a year ago. And he's only back recently. And
yeah.
I just echo what you're saying. You just be hoping, because it's very similar impact to what he had against Derry. But keep going. Sorry.
What I'm saying, because he's so young, usually you don't have the trust from your teammates at that age, right? But there was one, obviously, for the goal of the season, which we'll come back to, right? But before that, McCarron has the ball in kind of the right corner forward position, and he just loops a lovely little ball across, and McCall catches it with one hand. But McCarron is waiting to deliver that pass because he knows that McCall is going to win it. And it just struck me, I was like, for him to want to give that to a young fella, because it's not a guaranteed win, he knew that he was going to win. It was like the trust that McCarron must have. He must know this fella has a lot of quality. So that was, I thought he had a great game until he got injured. Sorry, Tom, go on.
No, go.
With the goal, like, I actually jumped out of the seat watching the goal, because they've turned it over right next to their own goal, and Began hits an absolute beaut. A beaut of a long kick. We were always taught in Kerry, if you can kick out of defence, it's obviously bypassing so much trouble. Look up and try and kick out of defence. The problem is a lot of full backline players don't have the ability to do that. But Began has.
You're going to get yourself in trouble there.
I always know the fellas with the gloves on the right head. But anyway, he hits an outside of the right, miles down the field. Even the vision to see it. It's just a beautiful pass. And then if you can compound the first kick pass and get another one, and the second one is just right on the money, hanging there. The defender has nothing he can do, and McCall just plucks it and slips it underneath him. I just thought it was a throwback. It was old school. It's the way the game should be played now with the new rules. You can counter-attack, and there's space everywhere. And it was just a beautiful goal. Beautiful goal.
It was Stephen Mooney with that second pass, James. I'm pretty sure Bobby McCall had... 3 goal shots saved by Jack Livingston. He had a fourth that Livingston touched onto the crossbar after Max McGuire was run and saved by Livingston. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous stuff. And that one-handed catch you're talking about when McCarron found them, that's like the 42nd minute. I think that's the point that wasn't given, that's being contested or was said on RT commentary. And we asked Gabriel Bannigan about it afterwards. You know, and actually Cormac O'Reilly former Meade referee, was the umpire on the near side, but it was the other umpire that flagged it wide. So you are our Football Pod umpire correspondent. So have you any comment to make on that one?
Well, I wouldn't be trusting the umpires, realistically. Yeah. I mean, they don't have a clue.
Well, I wouldn't throw it. I wouldn't be casting aspersions now on all umpires, James.
Clip that up.
Of all, I don't know if we can stand over. I didn't look. I don't know if we can stand over that comment, James. But
let's just say I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, and it's disappointing for them. But like,
and it's a killer. The fence second, will come up for you, Jimmy. They'll be parked outside Newcastle West by tomorrow morning.
The second umpire incident in the last week. Did you notice the umpire in the hurling game standing by a penalty, and he's on? It looks like he's on his phone as the penalty's being taken, but I think it's actually no pad.
Jesus!
I was wondering if James Dunhill had a comment on that, but we might let that one go.
He's writing a novel as he's doing the umpire duties. Jesus Christ!
For Mooney's goal, though, seeing as Ron referees and umpires,
what a finish.
Mooney, a brilliant finish, right? But the referee screens the two Mayo defenders. Do you notice that?
He was watching the screening demo last week.
He's taking on his man, right? And the Mayo fellas have kind of come to tackle him, and the ref is there in the way and stops them from getting back to him. No, he's still going to score a goal. It's a great goal, but I think Galvin actually had it up on Twitter about the referee's positioning during attacks. And next thing, sure enough, the following day, the ref screens two Mayo fellas in defence, but just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we saw a black card given for a screen. I hate to say I told you so, Jason but I told Duffy you boys this was night, coming.
And just on it, he didn't change direction either.
No.
He didn't, black card. No. He was perplexed. Again,
you're going to double down on the screens now, Tom, seeing as you didn't get the bend.
He's been flying that kite all week.
I haven't. I've never flown a kite in my life, lads. I was going to say something to you there about Mayo and Monaghan. Sorry, my other point of Mayo and Monaghan is, like, we're flying through this pod this evening, boys, because I got to get back on the road. But there's obviously an All-Ireland draw on Tuesday, so there's going to be so much more to talk about this week. That draw, for some reason, is on Morning Ireland this Tuesday. I don't know, James. I don't want to come to our GAA Plus correspondent here, Paddy Andrews. But is it interesting that GAA Plus and Paddy Andrews have been dropped from the draw for the All-Ireland series? What's going on there?
The motion. Well, to be fair, it only took him an hour and 10 minutes last time.
I thought he did really well, though. I loved how he kind of stewarded it. And there's a lot of people questioning why the GAA are waiting for Tuesday to do draw this time.
I'd love to know myself, Tommy.
The whole country went nuts.
We're on the show tomorrow, but there's no draw.
You don't take bank holidays in Croke Park Studios. We'll come back to that again. But that draw is 8:30 on Tuesday morning, and
there's
then
some
the All Ireland
that could come up there.
There is
definitely
very
the All Ireland series launch is going to be in Trim GA Club in County Meath later on Tuesday. So we'll have a reaction off the ball from that. But like just to mention, in round 2A, we're going to have Donegal, Cork, Galway, Tyrone, and the four winners from this weekend: Westmeath after extra time against Cavan. We'll get to that game in a couple of minutes. Armagh after beating Derry. Loud after flipping the script on Dublin. Paddy Andrews, you've had a tough weekend there. For any of our listeners, that's the third time Paddy has yawned in about 20 minutes. And then Mayo, who got the better of Monaghan today by a point in such a dramatic game of football. In the loser's draw, we've got Kerry, we've got Meade, we've got Kildare, we've got Roscommon, we've got Monaghan, we've got Dublin, we've got Derry, we've got Cavan. And that is a knockout round 2B. So 2A or not 2B, that is the question.
Just first out of the hat for home draw, isn't it?
None of you are Shakespearean.
No, I heard that. I knew what you were saying, Tommy. I just didn't respond.
Okay.
Just carried on. There you go. Just carried on living my life.
Fair enough.
It was a great piece, Tommy. Fair play to you. But
thanks, man. I stole it from someone. I can't remember who. I heard it earlier on today.
Kerry, Dublin, Killarney, though.
It is, isn't it?
It'd be nice.
If it was on GAA Plus, it'd be Dublin, Kerry and Killarney. But Ireland, they'll probably wreck the draw.
Why not Kerry, Dublin in Parnell Park?
Just not in Croke Park anyway.
Yeah.
Croke Park doesn't suit this Dublin team, lads, anyway. So they should be hoping that it's not in Croker.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. I was actually in Craig Kieran on Saturday night with Anthony Daly and a clatter of Hurling Legends.
How did they look?
Great crack. Anthony Daly was the only person in the country who didn't actually see the Jim McGuinness interview because he got banned from Twitter for selling crypto. Not sure you just spot that.
Jeez.
So make sure you've got your two-factor authentication secured on your Twitter account, boys. because Dalo can't get back into Twitter. But we had good crack and
he'll be buzzing today. Clare winning the 20s All Ireland.
Yeah, super stuff. And Kerry yeah. ending Tyrone's dominance. James, quick word on Kerry before we go to the other All Ireland series game. Tomás O'Shea guiding Kerry to their 20s title.
Yeah, geez, they played some great stuff. Underdogs, Tommy, they were this time in the bookies. Agreed. Which you obviously study the bookie odds. But geez, they played some absolutely great stuff. And I think there's a player, a special player in Garrod White. He was playing 11. And now Tyrone probably made a little mistake. They didn't pick him enough. I think, you know, creative 11s, you have to tag him constantly during the game. But he just looks so confident. He's only young. I think he is at least another year, 20. Just looks a special player. There's a couple of really good fellas coming through. And
he's
done a great job with him.
Anyone ready? I know Tomás Kennedy is obviously as played.
Well, Tomás Kennedy was on last year's 20s, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's
played senior this year.
He's played senior. He got that great point against Roscommon in the league, and he started against Cork in the Munster final.
I've been impressed by the midfielders, and you know, young Eino Bioglia had a great run on Gaeltacht, obviously last year in the club.
Yeah, Kirby, very good midfielder from the Stacks. They have a couple of great fellas coming through. Paddy Lane was captain. Good corner forward. He's been in with the senior panel. So there's a lot of fellas tipping around there. You know, you don't want to say, I know I just hung Garrod White out to dry there, but you don't want to kind of put too much pressure on him. But there's a couple of very good fellas coming through.
And Tyrone have obviously had some savage footballers over the last couple of years coming through. Young Shane McDermott can I describe it as a Muggsy-esque goal, the way he kind of fainted coming through the middle of the Croke Park there and to bury that goal in the first half?
Yeah. Well, in fairness to Tyrone, have done some serious work at underage. I was reading a thing where they've really focused on skill development and small-sided games, which is interesting. You know, not necessarily going for the tried and trusted 15-a-sides or whatever, kind of a more European soccer-based approach, which is obviously working for them.
Interesting.
Because under the rules, I think if you have the skills, you just have such an advantage.
Absolutely. Final word on Mayo and Monaghan, right? Because they had three championship debutants, Dermot Duffy, Dara Byrne and Jack Levinson in goals. Hugh O'Loughlin playing his second championship game. Cobby MacDonald, his second championship game. Aidan O'Shea comes off the bench to make his 100th appearance. I'd say if I put Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue's championship appearances together, they wouldn't even hit 80. And that is now no slight on the two ye incredible careers. But to actually hit 100 outfield games
like
as a championship
a
footballer.
Slight, but okay.
It wasn't.
You're so smarmy.
I think it sounds like a slight. Yeah, maybe it was.
It wasn't. He had two.
Slightly,
he had. No,
sinister
he had.
To that comment.
I'm not having that.
Bitter after.
I have such respect and admiration for the two.
Even that,
and you know
that
what makes
tone
you
just used there for that is also like derogatory.
But do you know it's not derogatory? Do you know what makes you such compelling co-hosts on the Football Pod?
I don't like where you're going with this.
You didn't have it all your own way. You had trials and tribulations across your careers, and that's what made it so interesting and why you're such authoritative voices on the game right now. Anyways, the point I was making.
You knew you weren't going to answer that, so you had to fill the gap. Go on.
Oh, lack of sincerity there, but anyway.
Aidan O'Shea, right, 100 championship appearances. Third on the list, Michael Murphy, still playing with 90. Fourth on the list, Sean Kavanagh with 89. Then Tomás and Mark O'Shea on 88 appearances each. Colin Cooper with 85. Mixit Fitzsimons from Dublin with 85 and just the 9 All-Ireland medals to go with it. Peter Hart from Tyrone, 85. Andy Moore in 84. And number one on the list, the goalkeeper, is Stephen Cluxon, 132. He was the first one to break 100 appearances. Obviously, we're beyond the straight knockout eras, qualifiers, Super 8s, round robins. There's a new format now. So there's more games nowadays. But to actually hit 100 appearances is super stuff. And my question is, and it's very long, Mayo's blend of youth and experience, you know, Andy Moran got a bit of bit of grief after the Roscommon performance for the team he picked. Did he get the right blend this time around, James, in youth and experience?
Well, the only thing we can go off is the result. So you'd have to say he did. I mean, a championship game is about winning, whether you win by 1 point or 40 points. They're in the hat. That's it. So he got it right. Absolutely got it right. Like, if you look at the bench, he brought on Dermot O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea, and
Kelly, Paddy Durkin.
And Durkin.
Paddy Durkin.
Like those three names. They're three heavy hitters. I love seeing a team with familiar names and faces on the bench, because it just gives everyone a little bit of a lift when they bring these fellas on, knowing that they have the experience, they'll do the right thing. And they did do the right thing. And I have to give a shout out to AJ for the
you have to have
getting 100.
If you're going to do anything in this championship, you have to have you have to have 20 players that you're going to rely on. And some big names on the bench, they won't like it. In the athletic grounds last night, we've seen Armagh do it, and they didn't need it. They didn't need to get out of third gear against Derry, but just having that comfort blanket of, if it's not going well, you can look over your shoulder and go, okay, here's three or four or five grade A players who've been there and done it. You know what you're going to get from them. It's such a comfort to the rest of the team, and you have to have it. You're going to see it. The panel depth is going to be, it is critical all the time, but now as we go into the real, real business end over the next 3 and 4 weeks of the championship, it's going to sort the men from the boys, lads, 100%.
Yeah. James, you were going to come in on Aidan O'Shea there.
Just to give him the kudos he deserves, the longevity, the desire to want to go back constantly. You know, imagine the amount of times he's thought, am I going back again and again? He keeps going back, keeps doing it, keeps delivering for his teammates and for his county. And to get to 100 championship appearances is a great feat. So congratulations to him.
Well, it's one of the position he plays as well, and the way he plays the game, and he's never injured. You know, he is there at the forefront of brilliant Mayo teams, some not so good Mayo teams. He's been the lightning rod for praise and criticism from outside and within his own county over the last decade plus. Has obviously had some tough days, some heartbreak, and to see him still there, absolutely loving it and dying to perform for Mayo again. I think you just have to have massive respect for that. Obviously one of my team's greatest rivals, but what a career he's put together to date, and to still be going strong and to still be pivotal to Mayo's success. He is going to be key to the success or failure wherever that team gets to this season. Maybe not as important as he may have been 5 or 6 years ago, but he's still, Andy Moore is still relying on this guy, and his teammates are still relying on him, and that says a lot to the quality of a player he is as well, not just his personality and resilience and all those things that you praise for being a brilliant, not professional, but how he goes about training and preparing for games. You don't reach 100 championship games without putting basically your whole life and soul into everything you're doing. So he deserves a little bit of praise, and it's good for him that he celebrates with a victory today, because it very easily could have went the other way.
Earlier today, 2:30 p.m., Dublin 124, Loud 418. Flipping the script on the 20 points to 10 win a couple of weeks ago. Second time today, I'm going to say it, but I told you so. How did it happen, James?
How did it happen? It happened because Dublin defensively had an absolute shocker. Like, a shocker of the highest order. If you look at, they've conceded 4 goals, right? Conceding 4 goals in a championship match, you're not going to win. Right, that's it. You can deep dive into every other facet of the game. If you're conceding 4 goals, you're getting bait. So if you go back to the first goal, was actually a brilliant finish by McArdle, but it's a mistake. It's a kick out gone wrong, right? It's a mistake. Then for the second goal is James Maguire, right? Or James Maguire's take going in on the Dublin goal. And he can take on a man. And when he looks up, it's McGuinness back there. And McGuinness is a forward / midfielder. And sometimes a forward can actually be a bit of a liability in defence. Right? I know myself, because I have done it where I think I'm helping out, and next thing the ball's gone over my head and the fella's running off my shoulder. Just because you're not as natural. So Maguire skips past him so easily and buries it into the corner. Like, to concede that goal in a championship match was very soft. Then the third goal was the one that was looped on top of the keeper and Davy Byrne. And I mean, if it happened in an under-12s game, you'd nearly be critical. Because I think that he goes up to kind of catch it, Maguire just has to come in and put any contact on him and it's going in the back of the net. So though, like, that's three goals conceded, like, so soft in championship match in Croke Park. And then the third or fourth goal
are, like, honestly coming a month's yeah. stuff. Seriously.
But the last one, which Smith can't pass the ball.
Incredible stuff. Like, they conceded 3-13 in the second half. Like, you know?
Yeah. But we always say, Paddy, as well, a goal is more than 3 points. So they had three times in the second half, they got that blow of conceding a goal. Not only a goal that they just handed on a plate to Louth. Just handed them. So defensively, meltdown from Dublin. A credit to Louth, but you cannot win a championship match by conceding four goals of that. Like, they weren't even ripped open four times. They just handed them four goals.
They ripped open loads of other times, but not for those goals.
Yeah.
Paddy, Kieran Casey Byrne, who has an AFL background, comes on the field after 45 minutes and is chosen as man of the match. I saw his unbelievable catch at the end of the game, AFL style. Where he hops up and it. But I didn't see a huge amount more. Why was Byrne the man of the match? And why wasn't it somebody who had started the game?
Because Louth weren't great in the first half. Like, Dublin were 1-12 to 1-6 up. And this game was kind of mirrored a lot of Dublin's games this year, where they started okay. In attack, they're quite good. They look slick at times. Scully, Bugler, Conn was back and started, scored 1-3. So all the positive things, you know, Dublin are not hanging on by a thread because their attack is malfunctioning. It's still a little bit sloppy. They still missed opportunities as well. But Loud weren't great in the first half. But from going 6 points down the first 10 minutes of the second half, they outscored Dublin 2-5 to a point. So Loud's resurgence was all in the second half. And Kieran Byrne came on and hit three big points and just had such an influence in that kind of roaring back into the game. James Maguire was very good at midfield as well. He obviously gets the two goals. It was impressive from Loud because Niall McDonald was brilliant in goal and on his kickouts in terms of their own restarts, but Dublin were diabolical. They couldn't get a press on him at all. Darren McDonald at centre-half back for Loud was very good. So Loud had maybe different players than the normal Mulroy and Kieran Downey and these guys who had their moments as well, but it was a far more collective effort from Loud than we see in the Leinster semi-final last month, where none of them showed up and it was a really, really bad performance. And I think looking at post-match reaction from Gavin Devlin and all the Loud players, they've referenced that you know, it was a real, it was I know your word from last week, Tommy, pathetic performance in the Leinster semi-final that stung a lot of those players. We know they're better than that, and they answered that in the second half today. So, but Kieran Byrne had a massive influence, and he has the big moment, the catch at the end as well, just as Dublin are trying to chase something. So credit to them. They were a tough place, but Gavin Devlin used this phrase, and I think this is the fear for Dublin, is like Westmead showed us the way. So Dublin better get used to teams just running at them from all over the pitch because they can't deal with it. And the second half, they come back to concede 3-13. Like, we've had this conversation from a Dublin perspective 3 or 4 times a year, more probably over the last 3 or 4 seasons. If you're going to do anything in this championship, as I've just said, with Mayo, not about Armagh, you need to have 20 players, realistically. I think Dublin have probably 6 or 7. And you can't hide players. You can't get away with these things. They have a cohort, the guys we all know that have been there for a while and performed quite well today, to be fair to them. But once you go away from that, Dublin are really, really, really struggling. And not just guys coming off the bench, in the starting team as well. And there's young guys there trying to learn the ropes. And it's tough because, you know, there's no hiding place. And like I say, Croke Park is probably not the friend of this Dublin team, unfortunately, with those spaces. And when the chips were down in the league, second half against Armagh, they don't have the answers. They don't have the depth. They don't have the cavalry coming off the bench. They're blown away. Last game of the league against Galway, same thing. Leinster final 2 weeks ago against Westmeath, same thing. Absolutely ran off the pitch. And they're finishing games with guys who have no experience and guys who are probably struggling to perform at this level. And that was the same again today. There's no point in singling guys out. We're all watching the game. That's the level they're at. That's like the conversations in WhatsApp groups with Dublin fans and players throughout today. Do you know what? It's not like, it's not anger or shock. It's like, worse, it's like acceptance that this is the level they're at. And they get a draw on Tuesday. You know, Dublin are not top eight. They're, I don't think they can beat a Division One team. So if they get to a quarter final, that was kind of the ceiling. And the shortcomings of the group, unfortunately, were highlighted 2 weeks ago against Westmead and again today. And no disrespect, but that's a Division 3 team and a Division 2 team that are doing that through. So brilliant for Loud, monkey off their back, and well deserved because the second half performance, Dublin just didn't have the answers. But for Dublin, it's tough.
The Dublin management team opted not to speak to the press in Croke Park after the game today. Didn't make anyone available.
Why is that?
Decided not to speak. I don't know. I didn't get any. I asked for an official word, and I wasn't there. I was in Clonus, and the line I got back was they just weren't available. And then management decided not to speak to the media after the game today. So you'd be wondering, do you know? I don't know. I'm afraid to speculate here about what might it be to do it. Is it to do with the performance? Is it to do with the fact that Ger Brennan is still banned? And you know,
I don't know. And that's all that all action like that does is increase speculation. I get they're obviously disappointed. I've no idea. But by not talking to the media, then this type of stuff comes out. I think it's irrelevant. I think they've far bigger stuff to fry internally in trying to get a performance because the season is. They're hanging on. The one benefit is that I think is Jer back for the next game. I think the suspension is by the time the next.
If the game, if Dublin's game is fixed for the Sunday, Jer Brennan will be back. If Dublin's game is fixed for the Saturday of the 13th of June, Jer Brennan will not be back.
Maybe it could be that, Tommy. But I look, my personally, I wouldn't have been a fan of not speaking. I'd say just come out and talk about the game.
Okay,
but it's another bit disappointing day in what's been a disappointing season.
Yeah.
But this conversation that we're having, lads, how many times have we had it this season?
We have.
Alone, never mind. And there's not a lot more to say. They're not a serious contender for this championship. So we're going to see this type of performance the next day, whoever it's against, unfortunately, from a Dublin
James, I'm going to take a break now in the football pod and we're going to talk about Saturday's matches. But I just want to give you 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 5 seconds if you need it. What do Dublin need on Tuesday morning from that draw?
What do they need? I'd usually say a home draw, but as Paddy said, I don't know is a home draw even that beneficial to them. The problem with Dublin at the moment is there seems to be something every week. You know, there seems to be kind of a fresh problem or something new to solve. And in fairness, as they're going, they are sorting certain things, but then they're being cut out. Just conceding 4 goals, even if they just do the week and just concentrate completely on defensive solidity, however they do it, they just have to not concede goals.
They can't stop teams playing. I think in attack, there was lots of good stuff.
There was loads of good stuff.
Look at Conn's goal, the first half was a
beautiful goal.
Kick pass and Scully, we know, carried on. He's just a brilliant player. Kick pass, and they're always looking inside, doing lots of good stuff going forward. But we've said that that is not the area of. It's still not brilliant. They're still a little bit wasteful at times. Execution can be a little bit off, but they did lots of good stuff in attack today. It's that they can't stop teams playing. They're not getting. Yeah. They're struggling around the middle third. They don't have a platform. There's a play. Here's a classic play outside of the goals, which were like Fawlty Towers type stuff, the third and fourth goal, for any of our younger listeners might know what Fawlty Towers is. But Lee Gannon is back, which is great to see him back, but look, he's rusty, you know. I think that performance showed. He turns the ball over in the centre channel, I think it's around whatever 50th minute, and Loud run up. There's four Louds, it's like the flying V and the Mighty Ducks going up the middle of the pitch. No one touches any.
Another classic reference.
Kieran Downey literally solos the ball in like second gear the whole way up the pitch. Center channel, no one touches him, and like gets into the Dublin D and still can't believe no one's on him and just clips it over the bar. It's like this is like championship minutes in a massive championship match. Like it's just they are way, way, way too easy to play against. They cannot stop teams. just cutting through them. And again, just to really hammer that point home, that was Louth they're playing today. And Louth are a good team. Okay, they're motoring along. But this is not my fear for Dublin before this championship even started was how would they match up against an Armagh, a Donegal, a Kerry and Croke Park? Galway, if Galway are moving. And there's nothing I've seen through the Leinster Championship which suggests that they are better equipped to deal with that. And that's where we're getting into that stage now. But they got a bad draw on Tuesday. They might even get the quarterfinals. So,
we'll just have to wait and see for Tuesday. James, come on. Do you want?
Just like Kieran Byrne, like he's come on and he has been excellent, in fairness to him. But that fetch at the end was a moment. Do you know? Like,
yeah.
I know he
that's
said in the interview
match,
after
I think,
it. Yeah, but he said after the game he's had a rough time with injuries and things, but
the way he
fetched it and then just put the chest out and he took it all in. It was like scoring a goal and, you know, doing an e-slide. He's just taking it all in. But it's beautiful because he does the AFL style fetch, but he goes on to Dernan's back.
Yeah.
And if you see Dernan turn,
Dernan's about 7 foot tall himself, like, Jesus.
I know, yeah, the height he gets is incredible. But Dernan turns around pure angry. He's like, who was it? And then realizes it's Kieran Byrne. I'd say he's delighted he's after fetching it. But it was just a great, like, even the still images of it, it's just a phenomenal skill and show of athleticism and such
epic,
a great moment.
One positive point is,
Tommy, it was a great match. And the Leinster final is a great match. So Dublin are a good watch, if nothing else. So
definitely. And on that note, on the football pod, we're going to take a really quick break and we're going to be back in a minute. There's loads more to talk through. And I think James O'Donoghue said the goal of the weekend was in Clonus. And I'm going to ask him about that and just after the break, because what are you talking about, pal? Back in a minute.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. James, I noted Kerry's Eye had a message up over the weekend, and it's to do with the Theatre of Dream. One of our favourite grounds in the country, the home of Killarney Legion. There's a important moment happening this week. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, we're renaming Doreen Johnny Culty Park after the late great Johnny Culty. So there's a celebration on all weekend in the Legion for it. So we're having the Johnny Culty Golf Classic on Friday, and then there's juvenile competition on Saturday, and then a renaming ceremony on Saturday as well. And
wow,
the president of the GAA will be there, and it's an open invitation, so anyone can come. So it's a huge thing for our club, and we're looking forward to it. But we're so proud of Johnny Culty in the Legion. Like, he won the All-Ireland 5 times, managed Kerry, was captain in 69, and was selector then with Jack in 04 and 06. And he had Jack's ear, actually, really, when I was starting to get onto the panel. He definitely helped me onto the Kerry panel and
really
gave me a lot of confidence. And
in what way do you think?
I'd say he'd tell Jack to bring me in, first of all, but as well, he'd make me feel like I belonged in there, which I suppose you'd have some serious imposter syndrome going into that dressing room at the time, which he kind of helped me not have. I remember he said, who's head you know in there? And I'd say, Gooch, Donaghy, Galvin, Declan, Donica. He goes, you're better than all them. You're better than all them. Don't mind that. Do you know?
You need that. Yeah,
absolute
light. Class.
But yeah, it's just a great man, and no, we're very proud of him at Legion, so it's a lovely thing that we're doing this weekend.
Yeah, no, that sounds like class. Brilliant weekend, a great celebration within the club as well, and I hope you all enjoy it. And if a spot frees up in the Golf Classic, would you let myself and Paddy know?
Yeah, I'm planning on winning that, actually.
We're always out for the trip to Clonus for some golf.
If anyone who just isn't familiar with the great Johnny Culty, just put in Johnny Culty Terrace Talk, and there's just a phenomenal article written on the great Rishi Fogarty's website about Johnny Culty and all of the moments that he had across his Kerry career. But James, I think that that little line you had there, that he had Jack O'Connor's ear around the start of your career. I'm sure he did. I'm really sure he did. Like, so that's great. Enjoy that week in the Legion. Paddy, you had a very busy day on Saturday. You had a doubleheader on GA Plus, an absolute clinker in Mullingar. You were set up in the Athletic Grounds, if I'm correct, for Armagh and Derry, and you were covering the other one. I sensed, and I thought maybe the Atmos mics that you had on GA Plus and maybe the commentary that you had, I sensed a savage amount of tension in Mullingar early in that game. Obviously a sellout, but it felt like the Westmeath fans just wanted that game to end and for them to get a win.
No, I think you have to give Cavan a bit of credit. They came in a very clear game plan to kind of frustrate Westmeath. We've seen Westmeath at their best in the Leinster final, and we've seen it again yesterday in that victory. When they get a turnover and they're allowed attack and score off their first phase possession, they're really, really dangerous. The runners they have, obviously, with Whittaker and McCartan, Ray Kennellan again yesterday, you know, these are becoming real household names in this championship, but they love to play on the counter really fast. And Cavan, to be fair to Dermot McCabe, and those players were absolutely aware of that. They've had Cavan about 6 weeks off since they lost that game to Monaghan in the Ulster Championship. So they came with a game plan and it worked for about the first quarter. Started okay. Paddy Lynch got a couple of scores and they frustrated Westmeath. But as the game wore on, Westmeath became really dominant. A little bit more quality showed. Cavan kind of a bit one-dimensional outside of just that initial game plan of maybe keeping possession, slowing things down. Emmanuel Sheahu was very good. Paddy Lynch obviously had moments, but outside of that, they just didn't look like they were going to have enough scoring power. And Westmeath started to turn the screw. And those key guys, like Sam McCartan, gets a brilliant two-pointer. Brandon Kelly was exceptional again. Like, this guy is really having a breakout year in the forward line, coming out of the shadow of Luke Loughlin. And the Westmeath crowd started to get into it. And again, we get into the third quarter. I think the Westmeath got 10 points up. And then the crowd are buzzing. And then that nervousness sets in because Cavan, like much like Monaghan earlier today, get a little bit of momentum. Dermot McCabe rolls the bench. Again, not household names coming in. Big Casey coming in at midfield has this.
What? What an impact, lads.
The two scores he gets, like Conor McManus-esque from the sideline, fetching balls at midfield. He actually has a couple of misses as well. He just has like this.
Hessen turns him over for that for the
extra,
goal.
Extra time as well. Like, yeah. But again, you've credited the count. Paddy Lynch gets the goal off a sloppy turnover. And definitely you noticed that last quarter, the emotional energy and celebrations and the championship run of playing four big Leinster championship matches on the spin seemed to have really taken its toll on Westmeath. They were running on fumes. And you know, this is a team that in extra time in Croke Park ran Dublin off the pitch, the likes of Ronan Wallace and these guys. Paddy Lynch's goal, Ronan Wallace, Jay, who goes around them, he's literally hanging on. Westmeath ran out of gas. And that's what made it all the more impressive that all the emotions of the last 2 weeks, the open training sessions, the sellout in Cusack Park, the celebrations, rightly so. What a moment. Only the county's second ever Leinster Championship. And stars being born. These players are talking about becoming national stars. You know, everyone's looking at these players. What a player he is. That can take its toll, and it did. And it looked like, much like in the Leinster final, I think, have they missed their chance here? And has this caught up with them? But to their credit, and to Mark McHugh, you have to give him and that management team credit for that belief that's going, okay, let's reset, let's regroup. Extra time merely even gets away from them as well. Heslop makes a big turnover. That's his big contribution yesterday. They get the goal and Westmeath get over with a win. So they had to win it twice, but they did it. And as much as the crowd may have been a bit more subdued at the start as Cavan were controlling the game, they left Cusack Park last night buzzing again. You've seen a pitch invasion and the momentum, despite the weather. A brilliant victory for them. Because it's not easy. We've seen the Rossies couldn't get back up to that high. Albeit, okay, Tyrone are a better team than Cavan, but Roscommon couldn't do it. But Westmeath, to their credit, to pull it out of the bag in extra time.
Eventually. Oh, yeah. Incredible stuff. And
great game as well, though. Really good game.
I think it got a little messy and a little tense after the game as well. I was chatting to Jonathan Higgins, our reporter at it, and Piers O'Meagh from Sportsfile today too, and just some photos of a couple of clashes and, you know, I think Dermot McCabe being involved with Westmeath last year and you know,
not easy,
you know,
for Dermot McCabe as well. Like, yeah.
Tricky one. And I think Mark McHugh has had a couple of Jose Mourinho style celebrations on the touchline late in games. And there definitely was another one after Kevin O'Sullivan put away that late goal in the midst of the comeback in the second half extra time. James, Conor Casey, right? He's this giant from Gowna, a young fella. Only added to the panel recently after a couple of impressive
couple of weeks
club
ago,
performances.
I suppose, I believe, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so are we going to see a bit more of this now in maybe in the, maybe not the top tier of the All-Ireland series, but maybe in the team that are trying to raise up a gallop and get there, that fellas who are putting in performances at the club level can just spring themselves into action because they've got a big boot in them or they're big enough to catch ball in midfield, because there was a rawness to Casey, but there was a glorious abandon to the way he played as well.
Yeah. Are you saying mid-season, like, launch fellas into it?
Yeah, like, he was just launched into it and he has this incredible impact.
5 or 6 weeks off, Tommy, you need to try and see club scene for a few.
True.
If you have an X factor, like if you have one thing, a good manager will be able to fit that in somewhere, do you know? Mm. And if it is aerial ability or long range 2-point shooting, why not? Why not? And it freshens up the group. You need, you know, even Heslin going back into Westmead, it's a little bit of a boost for them. You know, seeing a new fella coming through and do well, it's a big boost for the group. You know, a little bit of freshen up might put someone else under a bit of pressure, which is no harm as well. Mm. And to see one of those managerial decisions come off is great for the team.
Yeah, a lot of raw talent in Cavan. A lot of young fellas have come through. Emmanuel Chehu had a couple of good points and a couple of nice moments.
He was good, Jesse, Tommy. He was definitely one of our better players.
He really was. Like, but there's a couple of lads that are just kind of getting used to inter-county football. And I think if Cavan can get a spark, they might just be able to drive themselves on. They're on a lowish ebb at the minute.
Expectations are low.
There's something.
Shawnee Johnston was something last week talking about it.
There's something there, though. Like, there has to be something there, and it can't be
Division 2, Tommy.
They're so consumed by football.
They stayed up in Division 2, which is a decent level. The big thing for them, and they all alluded to yesterday in the pre-match we were interviewing them, was they felt they should have beaten Monaghan the first day out.
Mm.
You know, particularly after Monaghan had such a bad league campaign, they felt like Cavan, it was the better side of the Ulster Championship draw, and they felt like that was a real kick in the teeth. That was a big game they targeted in the season. And to lose that, we were saying before, it was a good draw for Cavan to get. You know, and for Westmead as well, it was a good draw for both teams. They both fancied their chances of getting something out of it, but you just felt Cavan were a little bit short. Darren McVitie only came off the bench after his injury, and then missing Grod McKiernan as well. I think if they're there, could be a different result for Cavan. And it's back to that piece, like we said with Monaghan earlier, if you're missing key guys, they don't have that depth of player. But like, say you bring in someone like Casey, you find these rough diamonds, and they have moments. And like, it was his second point for out on the sideline, the 2-pointer was an incredible score, like unbelievable kick. Like, so
you mentioned McManus and that kind of Tyrone area of the field where he hit that ridiculous score back in the day.
Like the subs bench, yeah.
It was mental. Like, it was a mental strike of the ball. Like, it was unbelievable.
That's where the wind was going from. So there was some favourable speed in the first half as well. It was coming in off the stand side, going to the far corner. So that definitely helped. But like I said, he was pulling the trigger. It was a bit like the old Paul Cassidy from Derry. Like, I'm having a go here, lads. He was backing himself. So, and very nearly a brilliant, brilliant victory for them. But I think, Westmead's day, that game easily could have slipped away. They'd not left in the tank, and they still pulled it out of the bag. And it's back to that belief, and the momentum, and the crowd, and that connection. And they go into round 2A. So they're one game away from a quarter final. And we would not have said that 6 weeks ago.
True. And we'll see what the draw brings for both of them. James, there has been 25 goals scored in the All-Ireland series so far. 8 games played in round 1. I'm just going to ask you 2 questions here. A, did you happen to miss the Armagh Derry game? And B,
what?
How on earth is Tiernan Kelly's game not one of the greatest goals you've ever seen in Gaelic football?
It is a great goal. Don't get me wrong.
And I never goal of the weekend?
Oh, I feel like there's a boat coming here.
I personally, as a purist, preferred McCall's goal.
Prefer the 2 kick passes?
I prefer the 2 kick passes. Just because there's 3 players involved, the skill levels, everything was on point, the fetch, the finish. Now, the only thing about Kelly's goal,
Kelly,
it is an absolutely ridiculous strike. incredible.
Yeah.
Top bins, unbelievable goal. The only reason that I would take a smidgen off it from being a 10 out of 10 goal is that he was on an advantage, right?
He didn't even know it. He only guessed.
Tommy, he's shooting it because he's on advantage. Come on, man. So he's pulled the trigger, shot to nothing.
Why are you taking a point away from that, though?
Yeah.
Because I don't... No, I'm not criticising this goal, by the way. I feel like I'm backed into a corner here. I'm just saying that I prefer the other one. I think he's pulled the trigger and hit a top bins as a shot to nothing. But I think they probably spoke about that in the Armada dressing room. If you have an advantage and you're inside that area, just go for a goal. And it's an unbelievable strike. Brilliant goal.
Do you remember second best goal of the weekend? Marco van Basten's goal in Euro 88? The volley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dip. That's what that goal reminded me of. It was just like he hits it kind of just between the laces and the insole. So it's like it's got precision, but it's got power as well. And it just dips across and McGuckin and goal. Again, nobody really thought he's going for this.
No.
In the stadium. And now he is going for it because of the advantage, but just the angle it's at, it's just such, you just don't see a shot like that happening. And his reaction, he's even surprised himself. But the reaction around in the ground was just like, what? And then a celebration. There was a moment of like no one had fully appreciated what had happened.
He's matured.
The replays of it's incredible.
He's matured into some footballer. And I remember talking to
he's very important.
About Tiernan Kelly a couple of years ago, and just the role he played, or he's grown into playing, and his tackling is exquisite. It's a second goal in big games back to back. Very important player for him. Paddy, you were there. You know, I found it hard to get a read on this game watching it back afterwards. Derry were never a million miles away, but they never really felt like they were there either, like, were they?
No, my abiding thing, I thought Derry might cause a bit of an ambush here. Just going back with the quality of player they have, they never laid a glove on them, really. Like, they were very, very wasteful in the first half. They had some opportunities. They just seem like a team that are low on confidence. We spoke after the match about it. Ethan Doherty kicks a two pointer with the last kick of the game to maybe put a little bit more gloss on it. But in all series, Armagh in third gear and just control this game. There you got a bit of a run when Jason Duffy gets the black card. Your point, Tommy, the black card screen. They reel off 4 points there. Conor Doherty gets three of them himself, and you're thinking, right, here's the spark. But the thing for me with Derry, and why I was kind of expecting something a bit more from before the match, was I'm looking at Derry through the lens of the Derry team of maybe 2022, 2023. And leaving the Athletic grounds last night, I think that Derry team we seen last night are a pale imitation of that. They were a shadow of that. And even though it's the same personnel, Conor Glass, Shane McGuigan, Ethan Doherty was Young Footballer of the Year, Conor McCluskey has had obviously injury trouble. Now he's tasked with marking Oisin Connolly last night. Did okay. Connolly's obviously developed into one of the top forwards in the game. But it's just the Derry team at their best of three, 4 seasons ago. They're nowhere near that. Even though it's the same players, it's just like there's a lack of maybe energy. There's a lack of confidence. They don't have that spark, that intensity. Armagh didn't have to get out of third gear, lads. Like, they had the guys on the bench. They had, like, McGeaney kept Ross McQuillan in reserve, Rory Grugan, Oisin O'Neill. And Armagh weren't at their best either. You know, like, it's... Connolly was okay. Turbot had his moments. Tiernan Kelly.
I was impressed with Tomás McCormack.
Tomás McCormack gets man of the match, but, like, he gets man of the match. I mean, he scored 2 points. It wasn't like he was, you know, Ballon d'Or stuff last night. It was a collective performance from Armagh. We know they can get way better. We know there's way more in them. And that was the disappointing thing last night. I thought there could be a bit of spice and a bit of edge and a bit of an ambush being laid by Derry, but they just didn't have that confidence. And like, their misses in the first half. You know, when you're an underdog and you're going away from home, you're trying to put pressure on, you need to be really clinical, and they just miss so many opportunities. They're shooting Niall Toner, McGuigan himself, Lachlan Murray. Like, that to be not just missing shots, but like in position and not taking shots on, is a clear sign of just a total lack of confidence. And Derry, that was my gut feeling driving out of the Athletic grounds last night, that they're just not a team at that level that they were a couple of seasons ago. And Armagh, I've seen them three times live now in the championship this season. They are just a sick. There's a team who has 20, 22, 23 players. And McGeaney has the luxury of, I'm going to chop and change a couple of things here. And there's no drop off. From Armagh's best player to maybe their weakest player on the panel, it doesn't look like there's a huge gap. And you look on,
no.
on the Dublin team, there's a fucking ginormous gap. There's the drop off. So, Armagh in a good place. Derry just low on confidence, friends.
I don't think Armagh want to. Like, it kind of seemed like they were in kind of third gear for that whole game, as you said. Yeah. I don't think they want to hit top form yet. Like, I know we say about peaking and all that, and I don't know, it's half of it nonsense a lot of the time. But I mean, you genuinely don't want to be jumping completely out of your skin in this round. You know, you want to get through the next round unscathed and be looking then about hitting top form for the quarterfinals. You don't want to, you know, blow a head gasket in this round. But for Derry, I still don't want to see Kerry going away to Derry. I actually don't really want to see Derry going down to Clare.
They do.
They do. And like, I suppose we can't forget how good Armagh are either. I think Armagh are probably just second in the country at the moment. And they squeezed the life out of Derry. They were the better team. But I still think there's something there with Derry. We've said it for years. There's something
that's what
there
I was thinking last night, Jimmy. And it was so disappointing because it is the same players who we rate so highly and who have done it. It's not like we're, you know, it's untapped potential. We've seen those players perform at the highest level of the game. And it's not like they're all 35, 36 years of age. They're dragging the arse out of it. They're all still age profile, should be okay. And that, for me, was the disappointing thing last night. Now, they've one more go at it, and I agree. If some team has to go up to Celtic Park to play Derry, you will be fearful of it. But if it's the Derry we've seen last night where there's just a lack of confidence, there's a flatness, dare I say, a staleness to what they were doing, well, then they're not the force. So,
James, could I ask you a straightforward question? A tough question.
This should be loaded question. In some way to...
It feels like he's absolutely stitching you up here, but go on.
Go on, Tom. You're straight.
You said something there that piqued my interest, you know. Kerry wouldn't want to draw Derry in the draw on Tuesday. Of all the teams, the All-Ireland champions, Kerry, who have a severe injury crisis at the minute, would not like to draw in round 2B, a knockout round. Who's top of the list?
Of unwanted opponents.
Yeah, so you've got Kildare, Roscommon, Meath, Dublin, Derry, Cavan, Monaghan. You only have to tell me who you least want.
I think probably Derry away would be one that I wouldn't mind staying away from. This is my opinion. No, this is not Kerry don't want to face Derry away.
No, you're not speaking for the Kerry WhatsApp group here. No,
yeah, headline, Jimmy. I can see the headline. Tip it up.
Derry away.
Number Derry.
Number
two? Who's number two?
Roscommon in the Hyde would be absolutely no joke. Like,
no.
I mean,
Roscommon,
they could rat laugh.
It'll be a bad draw for someone the next day.
Roscommon.
There's going to be good games here, boys. It's going to be spicy.
Like Meath.
You can forget about Meath. Don't worry about Meath.
Yeah, I wonder, has it softened them in the head a bit, the adulation they got off you?
Yeah, don't worry about Meath. Yeah. If you get Meath, you can just...
Meath and Kerry would be nice for the pod. It would be good for the pod.
You can roll up. You can roll up like you did last year and not worry about us, and we'll tickle your bellies.
Hey, tell me that'd be in Croker, would it? Meade's home game will be in Croker, like.
It would, which wouldn't be great against Kerry, but yeah, it would, yeah.
Tommy, you were just a stepping stone for us last year. You were just...
Lads, come on, it's late on Sunday night.
Hey,
fucking married couple again. Like,
hey, do you know what? No. Listen. We're only joking. Okay, that's fair. We've put it a good hour in the books. I'm sorry.
Come on, Tommy, fuck's sake.
I let you go. Do you know what?
The view is live tomorrow again.
Enjoy the view. We'll settle it all at the end of the summer with a cheeky little game of golf and a nice little 2-point competition between the three of us. We'll leave it at that.
Brilliant.
Paddy Andrews. I'll try their manner again. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, have a good night. Thanks very much. I'm going to get this edited and up before we get into June. 31st of May. Another good football pod in the books. Slán.
See you later, boys.
Cheers, boys.